there. Welcome to the Reading Project Podcast, where I help you build stronger readers one episode at a time. I'm Ashley, and your reading tutor. My experience as an online tutor, classroom teacher, and the mother of a reluctant reader has allowed me to bring a fun and effective approach to building stronger and more confident readers. I created the Reading Project after working with dozens of families in my business that needed support in helping their readers at home. I want parents and caregivers to know that you don't have to be a teacher to help your struggling reader. I'm here to help with book suggestions, homework tips and tricks, tools and ideas for tackling reading, writing, and spelling work at home. I am on a mission to help you develop a culture of literacy and a love of stories with your children. Let's do it. All right. Today I am talking to Kathleen from Dyslexic Labs. I'm really excited to have her on the podcast today. And I think my listeners here at the Reading Project are going to love hearing from her. I know I work with several students with dyslexia, so I'm familiar with their struggle and also with the worries of the moms and dads of these students. So Kathleen is going to share about her own personal struggle with dyslexia and then some of the benefits of having dyslexia, of living with dyslexia, and so much more. So I'm really excited to have you here with us today. Thank you so much, Kathleen, for hopping on. And why don't you go ahead and get started? Tell us a little bit about yourself and your educational background and your experience.
No problem. Thank you so much, Ashley, for having me today. I am so excited to be here and getting to share and encourage other dyslexics. That is my main mission. So again, my name is Kathleen and I am part of Dyslexic Labs. I've created it to just really come on and just help other parents and like dyslexics know that it's okay. And the struggle is real, but it gets better as much as most people don't realize it. And so, that's my thing is I was diagnosed very early on as most people call it either profound or severe dyslexia. We figured out that I was dyslexic in the first grade, but I'm a little bit older. So testing was not as easily available and like Orton-Gillingham tutors weren't as easily accessible at that point, but we did find it and make it work. And I struggled in the first grade. I struggled to read. I still remember sitting in reading class and the teacher would point to the word I, and I would literally sit there and stare at it forever and never know what to do. And then she would literally point to it at the next line and be like, you just read that. Like it's the same word and it was gone. And so those sight words, I understand it's a struggle. And so then they put me in reading intervention. Oh, and I would be sick every Tuesday, Thursday that I went. And my mom's like, what is going on? Why does she hate going to school? And they finally figured it out and they learned that it was because of this, the reading tutor and like the reading intervention I was in. And so my mom would take my baby sister up and like help me through this every day. And the teacher finally got so fed up, like literally took my mom and was like, get out. Your daughter is so stupid. She will never learn how to read.
And oh my God.
Class. And so that, that is what I remember from. And so for any teacher listening out there, don't do that. I mean, we are actually brilliant. We just think and do things differently. And what's so awesome is so many people have made it to where we realize that we just think differently and we do things differently. But once we figure out our own way of doing things, then it's fantastic. So that's what happened. I finally got diagnosed and got an IEP. And I still continue to struggle. And I remember in the second grade, my teacher, who I loved, I'm still friends with her, came up to me one day and said, Kathleen, I'm going to have you read these two sentences when we do oral reading. Okay. And I was like, I just kind of like freaked out. And I literally sat the entire class reading those two sentences over and over again so I wouldn't make a mistake. I didn't get anything out of that lesson because I was so stressed about reading those two sentences. It was just like, no, I mean, and I keep seeing it on social media, like do not have a dyslexic read out loud. It is so true. I can speak to that one. Oh, just don't do it.
Volunteer,
don't do it because they're not getting anything out. They're so stressed and so clamped up because they're getting ready to have their peers figure out that they can't read, and then their peers are going to make fun of them. I still remember that. So, I mean, there are just certain things in my past that when I read on social media, I'm like, oh, it's so true. Like, don't do it. And so my parents were amazing. My mom was a dyslexic. And so she knew something was wrong. And that's why she advocated for me so hard. Mm-hmm. It also runs on my dad's side of the family. My dad's not a dyslexic, but it's everywhere in our family. So,
okay. Yeah.
So if you're thinking this is genetic, it's very genetic. Mm-hmm. So if one parent has it, you're looking at about 50% chance the sibling, the child will have it. But if both parents have it, the child will have it. So kind of look at those stats and planning it. And what I'm seeing is a lot of the parents that are being proactive are the ones that aren't dyslexic, that have just kind of come in and learned. My child's this. Oh, I just found out my husband is too, and they've been struggling. Okay, now I have to figure out how to help my husband deal with the fact that he never was diagnosed, and now I have to help my child. And how do I do this?
Right.
So I've seen a lot of that lately, and I'm just like, it's okay. It's going to be okay. Trust me, I've been there.
Yeah. So can I ask you a quick question?
Absolutely.
You shared some of the experiences or some of your memories that were not so great, right? Some of the times when you really felt the struggle and you felt the pain of growing up with dyslexia. Were there any memories you have or any specific things that you remember growing up that really were positive around dyslexia, things that really started to shift and change things for you?
I was going to get there. Yeah.
Great.
But finally, my mother called, and there were only two Orton-Gillingham certified tutors. Mm-hmm. At that time, I didn't know what Orton-Gillingham was, but just alphabetic phonics. I don't think we see that one as much anymore. Mm-hmm. But my mom finally got a private tutor for me in third grade. And that is when everything started to change. It wasn't as hard because I was going to a tutor in the morning before school, and then I would go on. And so, I mean, I'm going to say that I am all about tutors and the private tutoring and building a relationship, because I got to work with my tutor for 2 years and it was amazing. And that's really when it started to change. But I kept falling further and further behind my classmates. Mm-hmm. And so my family finally found a school that helps dyslexics. And so my parents were like, enough's enough. This is so hard. And so they pulled me out and they put me in a private dyslexic school. And that's when it all changed. And so my self-esteem went through the roof. I started to learn how to learn the way I needed. Math, everything became easy. It was a total game changer. So I can't speak enough. And in those 4 years, the myth that dyslexics cannot catch up with their classmates is so not true. I was able to catch up with my peers, and I was actually able to go back to not public school, but a private school that was not dyslexic. And it was hard, and I had to work in an adjustment, mm-hmm. but I was able to get all A's and B's and like worked all the time. One of the things I'm going to say is, looking back on it, I wish I had known, like, okay, it's okay not to get A's and B's. It's okay. Just work on it, and don't be perfect, and enjoy a social life. Enjoy your friends. Enjoy everything. And so that's one of the huge lessons I've learned from my experience is it's okay not to be perfect.
Right. And your years. Excuse me, I can't talk. Your years in, you know, K through 12, let's say, like, that's just a small part of your life in the grand scheme of things, right? Like, you can go on from that and be successful and do, you know, do what you want to do. It might just look different for you than for someone else, or you might take a different path to get there. But I think that's really good advice, because so often in a traditional public school setting, we just get really stuck in the structures of it and the levels. And, you know, I think that's great advice, is to really just know that you're working really hard to get through your schooling and you're doing the best you can. And this is just part of your story, right?
It really is. And I mean, and one of the things that I've learned is like, is when you learn that you're dyslexic in school and struggling, that you think that this is it, that it's never going to change. And that's so not true. But I mean, like, I did struggle through college too, but I had, we found a specialized dyslexic college, and it was in Texas at Shriner University. It's actually one of the best dyslexic colleges, and there are quite a few across the country that are amazing. And I was able to apply and get into the learning support services. And through that, we had tutors. So every hour I was in class with a professor, I had a tutor. You could choose to do this or you couldn't, but I was like, we're paying for this. I need to understand. I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I also had note takers. So I would go to class and take notes, and then I would have them take notes. So then I could compare the notes and see what I missed, and it was great. Mm-hmm. And most of the note takers were actually my friends in college. It was fantastic. And so getting to see little notes like, "Hey, Kathleen, I hope you're having a great day," in the middle of the notes was so much fun.
That's awesome.
And then they had the accommodations. Again, it's going to date me. They literally did all the books on tape. Right as I was leaving, they had just gotten the software to where the computer program could do it. And let me tell you, I have tried the computer program and I am so in love. It's amazing with the assistive technology. And then I could also have all of my double time or whatever, untimed tests, and then either ascribe, write everything I needed, and everything read to me. And so those are available to you in college. Mm-hmm. They're not available to you when you go on to get your master's.
Right.
To accommodate for undergrad, you just need to make sure that that you have an evaluation that is less than 2 years old, is my other big parents. Is so if you are in public school, just request that evaluation. And then take that evaluation and you can get updated. You can get accommodations in college.
So yeah. So like in their junior or senior year, making sure they're getting another evaluation before they graduate.
Yes. And so, I mean, if you're in public school, totally use the public school system. Just put it in writing, say, "I need an updated evaluation." And that's one of the things that we would tell parents. It's just like, okay, well, what are your plans? And they're like, "We want our kid to go to college." Okay, well, just so you know, go ahead and put this in the back of your head that you need to request this at this time, so you have the documentation you need. Because those evaluations on their own are so expensive and insurance doesn't cover them. And so I'm all about using the resources. And I've even learned that if you are a private school, because you go to private school or you are homeschool, because you're paying taxes, you can still get that public school evaluation. You have to do a little more research. But I was talking to one of the people when I was a special ed teacher, and I was like, because the other teacher was out on maternity leave, so I had to do everything. I just wanted to make sure I wasn't missing. And I was like, "Well, what's that evaluation?" She goes, "Don't worry, it's a private school kid. You have nothing to do with it."
Oh, interesting.
And I was like, "Wait, what?" And she's like, "Yeah, you're paying taxes. This is a service that you can get." So that was one of the big like aha moments for me. Like, okay, so you think you don't have access to that information, but you do. So
that's great.
So just look into that and services to
that's
your
great. Advantages.
I mean, because I know everybody's spending a lot of money on tutoring and stuff. And so just learning little tips and tricks to save some money is a great way. Okay. Sorry.
No, that's okay. I was going to say, you know, so often we hear on social media, or we see posts or in the news or wherever you're researching and you're hearing all of these things that your child can't do, right? Or the things, what are the, you know, the negative things about having dyslexia, or you hear, you know, just, it's really easy to find a lot of doom and gloom around dyslexia. But I know that you are a successful entrepreneur, you're a mom, you're out there living your best life. So what can you share with my listeners about the advantages of living with dyslexia?
Okay. For me, my biggest advantage that I've learned is I'm really great at simplifying things. And so when things become so overwhelming, and I would say that this came into play with projects, just take a minute. If you get overwhelmed, walk away for a little bit and then come back to it and be like, okay, what can I do to simplify this and make it work? And so I actually had no clue that this was an advantage until I started researching it. Mm-hmm. And I used it in the business world and made processes where I worked easier for the entire team. And in fact, once it happened, like everybody loved it and we ran with it and used it from there on. Mm-hmm. And I see myself doing it in my business. I'm just like, this is just too overwhelming for everybody. How do I make this simple for in little chunks? But then I also see it that in projects. And so get the project. We're very visual thinkers. So most of the time, your child is going to know exactly what they want their project to look like before they've even started it, once they get the things. And so basically, for me, I always had to work backwards. And so I would see the project, didn't even realize I saw the project, and then I would work backwards on how to get those steps to make that project happen. And so that's one of the things. And visual thinkers. And another one that I found that I learned is we're actually really good at comprehension when we don't read it ourselves. But when somebody else reads it, it becomes so much easier. And I remember in school doing Shakespeare, like for some odd reason, I got Shakespeare. Nobody else did. I was like, oh, they're talking about this. Oh, this. And so Shakespeare actually was really easy when I wasn't reading it. When I was reading it, forget it. Over. But and I've learned that I still use assistive technology if you really want to know the truth. I literally use my phone for dictation to talk things out because I can't write, we'll be real. And that's why I don't have a blog on my website. That's too overwhelming for me. But I can make a video blog and come in and talk to you for hours about a topic. So I use what to my advantage. Mm-hmm. And then, sorry, I lost my train of thought.
We're chatting about the advantages of living with dyslexia. And you've said that you're able to simplify things. You mm-hmm. feel that dyslexics are often visual thinkers. I've heard often they're very good at art, usually, or yeah. Sometimes can be. And that comprehension, when you are read to, or you can listen to the passage mm-hmm. or an audiobook or something like that, that you have very strong comprehension. I've seen that with my students as well. Often the students I work with that have dyslexia, their comprehension is through the roof if they're able to listen to it or have someone read it to them or whatever. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I remember working with kids and I was just like, they would just struggle to read. And then it came to the comprehension and they would just like nail it. Even like the advanced, like mm-hmm. Advanced credit ones, they would nail. And I was just like, what? And then the students that could read really well could not comprehend it. And so Whenever I would teach Wilson, because I taught Wilson and got certified in Wilson and just loved that. It was amazing. And so it became so hard because I would have students that their struggle wasn't reading, it was comprehension. But then I would have some that and all in the same group. And so it became really hard to like move forward and get them what they needed because it wasn't like the group was so diverse and it became very, very hard. And that was one of the things that I was just like, this is so difficult. Like I love Wilson and I love this program and I totally believe in it because it is a spinoff to the program that I use to learn how to read. So I love it. Yeah. And it just, you mix all those groups together and the different students and they're not in the same place. It just, right. It's very hard to get them. Because I knew if I could do it privately and like just have one, maybe two students in the group, you can do so much more because you're focused on exactly what they need, not here's one, here's two, here's three. So,
right, yeah, right. That's awesome. Well, and I think if for families who are listening, maybe who have a child struggling with dyslexia, what I hope that they're hearing is that, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, right? And that you, your child may be struggling right now and, you know, you're feeling all the feels about, you know, what's their future going to look like. But Kathleen is showing us that there can be success in life as living, what do I want to say? You can find success living with dyslexia. And you mentioned that you struggle with writing still and that you use assistive technology still, but that's fine, right? Like that's okay. What do you want parents to know about dyslexia? What do you wish parents would know about living with dyslexia?
My biggest thing for parents is to understand that use assistive technology to your advantage. Like really truthfully, assistive technology is one of the things I read is it's honestly getting your time back. And so I want parents to know that it is okay to use assistive technology. And why struggle at night? One of the biggest things is like sitting down and reading a book. That's just terrifying. Like I still don't read to myself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I read to my daughter and I mess up and I mess up the same things over and over again. That's just how it is. And she laughs at me now because I'm like, bah, 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 bah. Sorry, let's try this again. She thinks it's hilarious. And I'm right. Like, she thinks it's hilarious at two. But but I know there's going to come a time when I have to explain to her what's going on. And so I'm always like, okay, you can do whatever you want. You can be whatever you want, no matter the outcome. And so just preparing for that. But I want parents to know that assistive technology is a way to make it easier for your child. And if you have them sit down and read at night, it's okay to have them like read on the iPad. They're actually going to get more information out of that than if they read it to themselves. And one of the things that I would love teachers to also know is when you do that, and if they're highlighting the words, I learned so many more words and I would literally be like, that's that word? That's how you spell that? Still to this day. And I'm just like, oh, I had no clue that word looked like that. I end up learning so many more things, so much spelling, so many things using assistive technology. And people are like, it's a waste of time. We shouldn't do it. No, absolutely not. Assistive technology is our friend and take advantage of it. And if you're a parent, I mean, I know I haven't tried it because I don't have a Kindle, but I know that there's a way to set up the Kindle to do it. Do it. And just take the stress of having them read to themselves away and make learning as fun as possible. And the other big thing is I want parents to understand is that because of dyslexia and the way we think, multi-sensory learning is the best thing for a dyslexic. And when I would learn, we had spelling tests in high school. I had no clue. I mean, my teacher, we had spelling tests. And so I would literally have to learn how to do that. And so I didn't even realize I was doing multi-sensory learning, but I would literally look at the word, say the word, and do jumping jacks for each letter, making it multi-sensory. That was the only way I could learn those words every week. It was daunting. And I would literally just look at her when she'd give us the list. And I'm like, are you serious? Your son has dyslexia and you're sitting here making me do this? Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of misinformation in the past and just a lot of not knowing about dyslexia. Thankfully, I feel like we're headed in a better direction these days. I think more teachers are aware, more educators are aware. There's a lot more advocacy for students with dyslexia. And I feel like technology has advanced so much. I know Microsoft OneNote is an amazing resource for kids with dyslexia. You can like make the font bigger and you can have it read it to you. You can have little pictures to go with the words I don't know. There's all kinds of really awesome resources out there now. So fingers crossed, I feel like we're headed in the right direction.
Do you want to know why Microsoft's OneNote is so awesome and geared towards dyslexics?
Yes.
Do you know that the owner, Bill Gates, is dyslexic?
Oh, I feel like I might have had that somewhere in the back of my mind. You know, when you see those like dyslexia success stories, yeah. And it's like really big names. There's some other big names too, right?
Well, what's funny is one of the big things is I don't think parents understand is actually if you empower your dyslexic, they literally can change the world. And so just a few off the top of my head is the light bulb was invented by Thomas Edison. He was a dyslexic. We have computers now that do these amazing things, Bill Gates and Apple. He is also a dyslexic. And so our computers and our technology are a good chunk of it is stemmed from dyslexics. And so that's one of the things is actually learning like who's a dyslexic. And then another advantage is most dyslexics become very good at sports. And so because they struggle so much in the classroom, they put all of their emphasis and time into a sport and they become amazing at it. Like Kobe Bryant, Michael Phelps, you name it, half of these like huge athletes that we look up to actually have dyslexia. And it's because they took all of their passion and time and dedication and put it into something that they knew they were good at. Yeah.
Yeah. For families to like recognize that, right? Yeah. And like see their interests and then support and encourage and help develop that interest. Because I feel like sometimes with my students, I have thinking of someone in particular that they, you know, I can tell that they're not sure where they fit in the world yet. And he's not sure what he's good at yet. And he'll ask me questions about, do you think I'm a good reader? And I am always trying to get him to see the bigger picture, right? Like, this is something you're working really hard at right now. Tell me something you love. Tell me something you're good at, you know, tell me something that makes you feel proud. And so helping our students see that about themselves and then really supporting and encouraging and building up that part of their identity so that they're not identifying as someone who struggles with reading, you know, that they're more than that.
Absolutely. And so that brings me to like the four. I did a video on this and it was like dyslexic mental health for Mental Health Week. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to give you the four takeaways to help with parents. So if you're trying to figure out like what are the key things you need to help your kid with to help them understand it is to understand dyslexia, like understand and know what dyslexia is and that how we process information on the right side of the brain, not the left side of the brain, which is reading. And so no matter how much we work, reading is always going to be a struggle. And dyslexia does not go away when you graduate from high school or college as much as I thought it did. I honestly thought it just poof went away. And I'm dead serious when I say that. It doesn't. It will stick with you, but know that it changes over time. So that's the next one is what dyslexia and what you struggle with as a child will not be the dyslexia and what you struggle with as an adult. And so that's one of the things is just knowing that it changes. And there's not a lot of research out there just yet on how dyslexia affects adults. I know there are a lot of advocates out there working on it right now, just saying like, hey, it does change and it still affects me. The next one is know the advantages. I have been working on compiling a list and right now I literally have 45 advantages.
That's amazing.
So yeah. And every time I see a new one, I add it to the list and it is just like, wow, there are so many. And like some of it is that we have entrepreneurial skills and a lot of these advantages come into play when you're older. And so 35% of entrepreneurs are dyslexic. And we can see the big picture. Like we're big picture thinkers. We don't see the minute details and little details, but we can do this. And then we can also, we're inventive, like computers, the lights, I mean, very inventive heads. Mm-hmm. And so just taking and learning those advantages and being like, these people struggled the entire time. And look, they went on to do amazing things. And in fact, Bill Gates talks about how he was just like, I failed classes and my engineer friend got all A's. Guess what? I'm the owner of Microsoft and he works for me. So let's put this in perspective here.
Right.
Well, yeah. Doesn't mean that much. I mean, it does mean a step, but it's not everything.
It's not the end, right? Like we said, it's just a part of your story. Yeah,
it's a small part. And so it seems like the whole story when you're in school, I know I've been there, but it's not. And so that's one of the things, is to look at it. And then the fourth tip is really to have a mentor. Like, you can have a wonderful dyslexic famous person. That's great. But I would say have one that you can talk to that's been in the business world and or just anywhere, but have a mentor. And that's one of the big things that I've been pushing for, is, and that I've seen a lot of kids change, is actually getting to talk to another dyslexic and be like, I totally understand, because we're so good at empathizing and sitting and talking to other people and being like, I get it. I was there. I couldn't read. And this is what I did. Mm-hmm. And so I've seen a lot of things change with just finding a mentor for your child to talk to.
That's great advice. I love those. Thank you so much for sharing those.
You're welcome. I mean, that's what I'm here for, is I'm here to empower the kids to help. And so I want them to realize that this isn't end all be all, and that you, once you figure it out, you can go do whatever you want. You can change the world. And I literally mean that. You absolutely can.
Yes. So
that's what I want teachers to understand, that let's think out of the box. And I remember I worked with one who was a special education teacher and then went back into the classroom, and the projects she let her kids do were amazing. And it was, she knew that sitting there and writing a report for half these kids was not what they needed, but she would let them create a video on the iPad. She would let them, and they learned so much more relevant information than
just being able to express their learning in a way that works for them. I mean, I think that's so great. It reminds me of that quote, which I'm totally going to butcher it, but about the fish. And if you judge a fish on his ability to climb a tree, he's always going to think he's stupid, right? Or he's failing, or so. I can't remember what the quote is.
Yes. But,
so I feel like it's like that, right? I mean, we can't.
Yeah. Albert Einstein said that quote.
Yes. And of course I butchered it, right? I don't remember exactly.
No, it was very close. Yeah. So if you think a fish is going to climb a tree, it will always think it's stupid. Something like that. Yeah.
Something like that. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Well, this has been great. I think there's so many takeaways for parents, and maybe even some older students might be listening to this and just be able to hear, or just maybe feel reassured that yes, it's hard right now, but it's not always going to be like this, and that you're going to figure out what works for you, and you're going to find systems and tools and assistive technology to help you be successful and learn what you want to learn, right? I mean, there's so many ways now for our students to learn and show their learning. And I feel like it's our responsibility as educators to give them those opportunities. So that's been great. Well, is there anything that you're working on right now at Dyslexic Labs that you would like families to know about, or would you like my listeners to know about?
Yeah. So I have spent a lot of time working with parents and to understand the evaluation process. And so like we talked about, like getting the evaluation process to go to college. Mm-hmm. And so I have created a free guide that you're more than welcome to go over on my website and get it. And it literally walks you through the evaluation process. But here in the next week or two, I'm going to be doing a free webinar again, because I'm not good at writing. That guide took forever, but I'm just like, I can come online and tell you everything you need to know and answer the Q&A. So I'm going to be hosting a free webinar. All you have to do is go to my website, dyslexiclabs.com, and sign up. And it's going to be here at the end of the month. And I'm very excited. And we're going to talk about like all the advantages, the outcomes of an evaluation, the three different outcomes, and then like what you can do. And then once you go to like an IEP, like that you need to have a plan, not just let the school have a plan, but you need to have a plan knowing exactly what you want for your child and how to get that plan executed in either a 504 or an IEP. And so.
Great. That's awesome. I'll make sure to get those links from you and include them in the show notes and share your webinar registration when that's live. That'll be wonderful for families to be able to learn from you.
Yes. And so, I'm here to help at any time. If you want to send me an email or anything with follow-up questions, I am more than happy to answer them. I guess I did not give you my email, but it's hello@dyslexiclabs.com. You're more than welcome to email me at any time. I'm here. I love to talk to kids and be like, I was you. I totally get it. I was you. And
that's great. Awesome.
It's give it some time and just understand and learn. And I'm more than happy to share all the assistive technology that I've used. And in fact, I'm working on a video of just like, this is what I used and this is what still helps me today. So
don't. Oh, that's going to be great. That's awesome. Yeah. I will definitely share that when that's done. I love to ask all my guests, what is your favorite children's book or what are you reading right now? Either you could share, you know, what you're personally reading or listening to or what your favorite children's book is.
Okay. My favorite children's book is, it took me forever, Matilda. I loved Matilda growing up. And then as an adult, it came out as a movie and I was like, have to watch the movie. And I was like, yeah, the book's so much better.
The book is so great. We did Matilda with my son last year, I think, too. And it's just, it's really fun to see like a child rise up against the parents, right? Kids love that. And the educators. Absolutely. So that is and a great
then I really, when I read books, it's honestly to learn more about dyslexia. So that's what I am on. And I've literally been on the same book for 6 months.
Which one are you reading? I have Overcoming Dyslexia in my office in here is what I'm reading.
I'm pretty sure that's what The Gift of Dyslexia.
Oh, all right. Awesome. Yeah. Great. Well, that's great. This has been awesome. Thank you so much, Kathleen. I really think that my audience is going to get so much from hearing from you. And if you're listening and you want to follow Kathleen and her journey, you can find her on Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And I'll make sure to include all of those links in the show notes. All right. Thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you know anyone who might be interested in joining us and listening in on my podcast, I would love for you to share it. And I'd also love to connect with you on social. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and Pinterest. All my links are in the show notes. Make sure you head over to my website at www.yourreadingtutor.com to sign up for my newsletter so you'll be notified when new episodes come out and any new promotions or services that I'm offering. You can also find my free signature 3-step reading reward system on my website. You'll be able to download it and just get started right away, helping your struggling reader to reach their potential. Keep reading. See you next time.